Oh, good night, Yom Kippur, my Jewish Florida. A few minutes about dreaming big on Yom Kippur. There is an amazing piece by Rabbi Dessler, one of the great and most profound thinkers of the 20th century. Rabbi Dessler says the following piece at the end of a piece on Yom Kippur about the Ur HaGanus, this supernal light that was hidden by Hashem in the beginning of time for the future world. Says the following, Amru B'Gamara, that the Talmud says, She'ina Satan Shalot B'Yom Kippur, that the Satan, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, does not rule over us on Yom Kippur. V'zer Geder Silika Satan. That's the concept of the removal of our general personal evil inclination. Shemiskal Efsiyoso, that the Yetzirah, this evil inclination, the Satan, on Yom Kippur, it's shown that this evil inclination is really nothing to block us from our purposes, from our dreams, from our hopes, from our potential. At the end of this long piece, which he elaborates upon this, he says, "Dvarim elu, these ideas, is nistarim v'ne'alamim v'niskam itanu, they're above us. The true understanding is hidden from all of us. Ach, but, ma sha'aleinu l'ilmon mizehu, what you and I should learn from this is as follows. Shenimses gam bishvilenu, that we have on Yom Kippur, siyata dishmaya miuchas yom zeh, we have a tremendous amount of divine providence that goes along with us. It's a tremendously auspicious day. Uvekein ad kama alenu, we're in this idea of this Ur HaGanus, of this light, which removes from you and I the things that typically block us from achieving our potential are removed. There is no day that is better to strengthen ourselves, says Rav Dessler, in tefillah, in prayer, to achieve what we should, uteshuka panimius, an inner desire that we should have on this one day of the year where we can tap into this supernal light, to grow, kedei la'alos ulis alvas, to return to Hashem with all of our hearts, and to become the people we should be. Praise it as a person who achieves this. The Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, who passed away in the year 2000, who was renowned for his works also on deep thought on many Jewish topics, says that if a person accepts that he wants to fulfill his mission here in this world and fixes what needs to be fixed on the night of Yom Kippur, he is written into the eternal book of life. That Yom Kippur is a day where we're supposed to think about what we should be doing in this world. There's a very famous Reb Simcha Meburim in Pshischa, who was one of the greatest 19th century Polish Hasidic rebbes, who a lot of the Polish Hasidic movement, the largest Hasidic movements, came from him, from his ideas and from his teachings. And Reb Simcha Meburim said the following thing: every Jew has to have two pieces of paper. One paper says, Va'anoichi offer ve'efer, that I'm dust and ashes. And another paper should say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam, that the entire world is created for me. Both of which are Jewish concepts. And both of those concepts are so important on Yom Kippur. Va'anoichi offer ve'efer, that I'm a dust and ashes. There's a large part of Yom Kippur we're supposed to be looking at what we did wrong and fixing that. Taking responsibility for that. But there's another part of Yom Kippur, that the whole world was created for me. The entire world was created not just for me to live, but for me to accomplish on this world. And I want to focus on the second paper today, on Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, that the entire world was created for me. On this day of Yom Kippur, where there's a supernal light, where we have no Yetzer, which the typical blocks, which block us from achieving and aspiring for what we could really be in this world, are not there. You know, in the world of ideas of self-help, there's a very important concept called SMART goals, which is a very Jewish concept. SMART goals means that for you and I to achieve this world, we have to have SMART goals, things which are accessible, achievable, which we could do if we apply ourselves. And that's typically how we look at the world. But on Yom Kippur, there's really an idea called stretch goals. Actually, Jack Welch, who is the CEO of GE, actually made one of the largest companies of the world about 25 years ago. So Jack Welch was known to push GE, General Electric, for stretch goals. Stretch goals mean something that you don't think is possible. Something that seems to be beyond yourself. Something which really entails a push to get to there because it doesn't seem possible today. And stretch goals really is something that allows us to achieve who we are. And if we don't have it sometimes, the results can be tragic. I once heard, I actually spoke to him about this, Rabbi David Goldwasser. He once stayed by me when I was a rabbi in San Jose, California. Rabbi David Goldwasser is a prominent rabbi in Brooklyn, a very famous lecturer. And he said the following story. The one night, 3 a.m. in the morning, he gets a phone call. Wakes him up, and there's a girl on the other line. And this girl is crying, and she starts saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to kill myself. I've had enough. My life has been so horrible. And imagine, you wake up 3 in the morning, he gets such a phone call. He has no idea who is calling him. And he starts talking to this girl, and she says, no, your life is precious. You can't give up. No, there's no point in me living this world. I've had enough of this world. It's been so bitter. And as this girl is speaking, he realizes that this is a girl who attends some of his lectures in Manhattan. And he tries to reason with her. Listen, look how much you're attending lectures and you're growing in your Judaism. You should be so proud of yourself. Didn't work whatsoever. He says, if you kill yourself, what's going to happen to your parents? They're going to be in tremendous agony. They're going to mourn for you. You can't do this to your parents. Also didn't work. And she's about to kill herself, and he starts to get desperate. Finally says to her on the phone, 3 a.m. in the morning, and what should I tell your chassan? What should I tell your groom? And this girl starts crying, I don't have a groom. I'm not even dating anyone right now. But he said, you're going to have a groom. You're going to have a chassan. What should I tell them that if you're going to kill yourself? She says, what do you mean? He says, you know that the Talmud says that in Sota Daf Beis, it's in Tractate Sota, that everybody has somebody, a bashert, somebody they're supposed to marry in this world. You have a bashert. What should I tell him? And this girl at this point stops and she stops crying. Do you mean I really have a chassan? He said, 1,000%. And he's going to appreciate you and cherish you. And at that moment, the girl stops and she starts crying. You mean I really have a chassan? And then it got silent for a second. And he starts getting nervous with Goldwasser. And he starts saying Tillim, Psalms. And all of a sudden, the phone picks up again. And it says, Officer Constanza, Rabbi Goldwasser, who's a rabbi, thank you so much. We have her. She's safe now. And Rabbi Goldwasser said the following thing. This girl had no hope. But the idea that she could have a chassan, a groom, that was all a difference to her. But the truth is at that moment for her, I don't know who she was, I don't know her story, but it seems to me it was a stretch goal for her. She couldn't see herself at that moment getting married. But the ability to have that hope, that vision, you're not stuck. You could change. You could be a million times better was what really stopped her from giving up all that's precious in this world. Her life and her future and that chassan that she should have. I actually once saw an amazing story, really an amazing story, about an amazing individual who I was fortunate also to have met more than once, but Israel Tauber. Tauber passed away 5 years ago, was a very well-known real estate mogul who was a philanthropist who supported Jewish education, Kollel Torah study, high-level Torah study around the world, but probably more famous because he wrote dozens of books. And he literally traveled the world to speak to all kinds of audiences, to give them a deeper appreciation of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, and of Torah. In fact, Rabbi Tauber was the primary person for revealing another very famous speaker and a person of tremendous influence, Rabbi Shimshon Pinkas. And Rabbi Tauber did many other things, but this Rabbi Tauber said the following story about himself. He was born in 1938 in Pressburg in Bratislava. And when the war started in his area, he was actually in Hungary at the time, he was a few years old. His parents were with him. He had a few younger siblings. He was the oldest of the children. He was 6 years old in 1944. And that year when the Germans came into Hungary and they took away his mother and his youngest sibling, and they took them and threw them into Auschwitz. And his father, and Ray Tauber, and his three younger siblings were hiding. And at one point, their bunker where they were hiding got bombed. And his father was badly injured. And Ray Tauber said that his father said to him, he said, he's told me 6 years old. He says, your mother is in Auschwitz, and I'm going to die, Israel. You have three younger siblings. These are their Jewish names. Make sure that they know that they're Jewish. And at that moment, Rabbi Tauber said, if you would have looked at his life, he was 6 years old with his father dying beside himself. And his three younger siblings, with Nazis surrounding them on all sides, his mother in Auschwitz. What would you say his future would have been? And Rabbi Tauber said that he said this years later to his father. 50 years later, at his youngest daughter's, Israel Tauber's youngest daughter, Sheverbach, the week after she got married, all the blessings they had. She said, Tata, if I would have said to you 50 years ago that you would have, you would get, their mother actually survived Auschwitz at that moment afterwards, and you would have five more children after the war with Mama, and you'd have dozens of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and you would live in Muncie, New York, surrounded by Jews, Orthodox Jews, Torah Jews, what would you have said that day in 1944? And Rabbi Tauber's father told him at the Sheverbachas, he said, Israel, if you would have told me that 50 years ago, even if a Navi would have told me, I could have never imagined it. Never would have imagined as I was dying there with my son, telling him his younger siblings' Jewish names, with my wife in Auschwitz, that any of that future would be there. But it all happened because he did survive the war, and he had goals, and he had dreams, things he could have never imagined. And on Yom Kippur, all of us are supposed to have things that we really want, we just can't imagine today. It is a day where the Or HaGanus, where the supernal light is there, where our Yetzirah doesn't rule over us, where we don't only have to have smarkles, we have to have smarkles too, if they have applicable goals that we implement on Yom Kippur for the future. But we should have stretch goals as well. We should think that the world was created for you and I, and you and I have our own purpose in this world, and there's no better day in Yom Kippur to pray and to plead for not only for what we are today, but what we could be, and to, of course, to work on ourselves and to make amends and to deal with our past and to return to Hashem, which that's what Hashem wants for us. But in the process, to think, to dream big, have big stretch goals, and because I can tell you today, things that we can never imagine, even if a prophet would tell you and I, even if a Navi would tell you and I, if we think bigger on Yom Kippur, we'll achieve more than we ever could imagine, and you and I will write ourselves into the eternal book of life, and we'll bring merit to ourselves, our families, and the entire Jewish people. Wishing everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova. Thank you.